This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to ER Vet on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Justine Lee, and I'm an emergency critical care veterinary specialist and toxicologist. Thanks for joining us. Today, I'm going to be talking about how to keep your four-legged friends out of the emergency room. And the reason why I'm talking about this is because I've practiced over 20 years in the field of emergency critical care. And as you know from the past several years of ER Vet, I've been trying to educate you as a pet owner on what you can do to keep your pet as healthy and happy as possible. Totally understand, I see emergencies all the time, and we know emergencies are always gonna happen, but there are definitely things that you can do. So we're gonna talk about this today, and I also wanted to talk about some key big announcements. We'll be right back after these messages.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to ER Vet on Pet Life Radio. Today, we're going to be talking about how to keep your four-legged friends out of the emergency room. First of all, my big announcement. I am going to be retiring from Pet Life Radio's ER Vet show. Don't worry, I promise I'll still come and visit, maybe on other shows. But I just wanted to thank all of you guys for being such loyal listeners, because I know you want to do everything as a pet owner to keep your pet as healthy as possible. It's been a huge honor working with Mark Winter on Pet Life Radio. And again, my passion has always been educating pet owners. So what I'm going to summarize today are really the best ways to keep your dog or cat healthy and hopefully out of the ER. Now, obviously, our pets aren't just animals. They're our four-legged family members. And there's a couple of key things when it comes to their health and safety that's of paramount importance. Despite what we do, even as a veterinarian myself, accidents are going to happen, diseases are going to happen, and we never know when trauma is going to happen or that poisoning is going to happen. But that said, I want you to keep your beloved furry friend out of the emergency room. And the first way of doing that is by preventive medicine. What does that mean? Preventive medicine is when we're doing everything that we can to keep our pets healthy, and that includes regular visits to your veterinarian. Now, I'm not your typical veterinarian in that I'm a specialist, so I don't routinely do vaccines, I don't do heartworm preventative, but I actually go to a general practitioner in Minneapolis and bring my own pets there for routine care. And the main reason why I do that is because they're the experts in preventive medicine. So we want to make sure your pet's well-being is taken care of. And the best way of doing that is making sure you get that annual examination, keeping up to date on vaccinations, and making sure that you're on the appropriate prevention. So things like heartworm medication and flea and tick medication. These are really important as a first line of defense. So key things that you need to know. My general philosophy as a veterinarian is I always treat my pet the way I would treat them. I always treat every patient that comes into the veterinary ER as my own pet. And I do for them what I would do for my own dog or cat. And guess what? My own dog and cat go to the vet every single year. They get a physical exam at least every 6 months. Now, granted, I'm often doing this at home, but as a pet ages, so for a dog, this may be 5 to 8 years of age. For a cat, this is going to be about 8 to 11 years of age. You do truly want to make sure that you're considering regular visits at least every 6 months to 12 months. Why? Because we as veterinarians want to do that physical exam so we can pick up on a thyroid nodule or a heart murmur, or we can check your pet's body condition score. So many things on physical exam that we can pick up as a veterinarian to be able to diagnose a problem earlier. And remember, if we do diagnose a problem earlier, we can always treat it earlier, the prognosis is better, and it's going to be less expensive. So when in doubt, you always want to have it on your Google Calendar to make sure that your pet is going to the vet every single year, staying up to date on their vaccines. Now, what do I do as my pets age? I make sure that my puppies and kittens go through the entire puppy series. And typically, this is going to start at 5 to 6 weeks of age. They need one vaccine around 5 to 6 weeks of age, and then they need a booster, puppies now, every 3 to 4 weeks until they're about 12 to 14 weeks of age, depending on the breed of dog. Now, with certain breeds that are more predisposed to parvovirus, a disease that causes profuse vomiting and diarrhea, so dogs like pit bulls, German shepherds, Rottweilers, Doberman retrievers, I often will vaccinate them out to 14 weeks. When we make sure that our pets have gone through the whole puppy series, I then make sure to do an annual vaccine once a year thereafter until they're middle-aged. And we want to make sure that they're going through their boosters to make sure that their immune system is stimulated to protect them. I also want to make sure that they're up to date on the rabies vaccine. This is the most important vaccine and is required by most states. So as your pet ages, so once your dog is about 3 to 4 years of age, I actually bump my vaccines. So especially the distemper, hepatitis, parvovirus, a vaccine, or what we commonly call the DHLPP vaccine, to every 3 years. That doesn't mean you're going to go to the vet every 3 years. You're still going to do that annual exam, but you can talk to your vet and say, I want to change to the 3-year protocol. And that's really, really helpful too. Again, it's that physical exam. It's that communication with your veterinarian that's the most important. I always say, if you're not sure what to do, do what your vet does for their own dog or cat. I make sure my dog's on year-round heartworm preventative. And my dog, granted, I live in Minnesota where it's winter 6 months out of the year, I keep my dog on flea and tick medication either 6 or 12 months out of the year, depending on where you live. So remember, those routine preventive appointments are your first line of defense to keep your pet healthy. It also maintains a constant relationship with your veterinarian. And this is really important, especially if you have one of those emergency room visits where it could have been treated at your family practitioner. So when in doubt, make sure you are taking care of your pets with appropriate preventative medicine. The next thing I wanted to talk about is what you can do to prevent your dog or cat from going into the ER is pet proofing the house. Now, as a toxicologist, I'm a little biased, but if you have a Labrador retriever or you have a young puppy in the house, you always want to make sure that they're appropriately crate trained and that they're trained not to jump on counters or tabletops where they can get into something poisonous. Just a couple of tips when it comes to pet proofing. I always say if every dog owner out there taught their dogs how to be appropriately crate trained, in other words, the dog loves their crate because they view it actually as their wolf den, then we would see a lot less poisoning situations. If you appropriately crate train your dog, they actually want to go into the crate. So appropriate crate training means doing it as a puppy, not using it as punishment, making sure that it's big enough for them to stand in and be comfortable in, but not big enough that they're going to urinate or defecate in the opposite corner. That means that crate's too big. Making sure to always leave the door open so they can go in and out as they want during the day. Making sure to give all treats and meals and toys in the crate so they view it with positive association. The second thing you can do to pet-proof your house, making sure everyone in the household hangs up their backpack, their briefcase, or their suitcase, or their purse. I can't tell you how many times I see accidental poisoning because someone threw the backpack or their purse in the corner. Dogs can smell that weird content that might be in your purse or backpack. that may be a snack-sized box of raisins, or it could be prescription medications. It could be things like hand sanitizer. It could be xylitol gum. So many poisons there. The third way of pet-proofing, when you have those weekly pill holders that have a ton of medication in them. Well, you can't blame a dog. Those things sound like plastic rattles. So when in doubt, if you have a weekly pill holder for yourself, keep it out of your dog's reach, okay? That means not keeping it on the kitchen table or the kitchen counters where your dog can get into it. You can't blame them. Again, it sounds like a plastic rattle toy. The last thing when it comes to pet proofing, making sure if you have guests that come into the house that they don't bring in poisonous things. This may be a bouquet of flowers that contain dangerous lilium or Hemerocallis lilies that are super poisonous to cats. Okay. This is especially important around Easter time when people are bringing in Easter lilies. Again, these are poisonous to cats, not dogs. When people are visiting for the holidays, maybe you have family coming and they bring all their vitamins and their pills and they put them in a little Ziploc plastic bag and they throw it in their suitcase. Well, those medications have weird smells. And your dog or cat may go into the guest room and munch on those, resulting in an emergency when those people are visiting. So again, that's another way of being able to pet-proof your house. The third thing you can do when it comes to keeping your pets out of the emergency room is leashing and training your dog. I'm a firm believer that if you are going to own a dog, you need to make sure they get at least 30 minutes of exercise a day. Yep, that's right. That's usually 2 15-minute walks a day. You opening the back door so they're just pooping in the fenced-in backyard is not exercise, okay? We want exercise where they're chasing a ball or exercising or pacing or jogging or running because that's what gets their energy out. That said, we always want to make sure our dog is appropriately leash trained and on a leash. I can't tell you how many scenarios that I see dogs hit by a car because they were running in the dog park and they ran across the street and got hit by a car. I will also say that's why my second rule of dog ownership is making sure that your puppy or adult dog goes through at least 2 semesters of puppy obedience. Even if you adopt an older dog, remember you can teach an old dog new tricks. When it comes to obedience training, it's actually training you how to obedience train your dog. And there's really only 4 to 5 commands that I really care about. I don't care about shaking or rolling over. Those are just like fun things that you might want to do, but those are not life-saving commands. Life-saving commands are sit, stay, down, off, heel, come. Okay, so maybe it's 6 commands, but those are really, really important because if your dog happens to be off leash and is chasing a squirrel or wildlife or deer, you need to be able to call him back immediately. I used to have a dog, my first ever pit bull, who was so high level obedience trained. If he was running through the woods, I could say down and he would lie down even though he was in a full sprint. So unless your dog will do that, or unless your dog will 100% come when you call them, your dog should always be on a leash, which then leads me to the controversial cat. Now, personally, as a veterinarian, I keep cats indoors because when they're outside, please know that they do kill a lot of birds and wildlife. Now, the reason why this is important is I also see a lot of trauma related to outdoor cats. Even if you think they're just going to stay by my house, they don't. Not only are they defecating and urinating in your neighbor's yards, which they don't appreciate, they're probably eating the daylilies in your neighbor, so they're at risk for poisoning. They're killing wildlife. And so I always say, if you do let your cat outdoors, please don't have any bird feeders at your house, okay? And the second thing is please consider leash training your cat. Believe it or not, cats can be leash trained and taught to walk on a leash. It's quite amazing. It does take some dedication, but remember, cats can do it. You can also consider things that keep your cat safe and enclosed, like catios. These can reduce the exposure risk to cars and poisons and coyotes and things that can attack your cat. So when in doubt, please consider this. There's also a lot of stray cats out there that can spread deadly diseases like kitty AIDS, or feline immunodeficiency virus, or things like feline leukemia. So again, we always want to make sure to keep our pets as healthy as possible. Now, keep in mind, there are awesome ways to provide indoor environmental enrichment. So this is going to include things like a separate area for each cat, a separate cat tree for each cat to climb, maybe a variety of different toys for your cat to play with, catnip, scratching posts, making sure that you have their food separated from where their kitty litter is, making sure that you have the right number of litter boxes and they're not near anything scary like the water heater or HEPA filters going off randomly. So again, a lot of great information on how to keep your pets environmentally enriched. And again, they can be just as happy indoors, again, these cats, versus keeping them outdoors. When in doubt, you can always go to the Ohio State University website and just Google environmental enrichment for dogs and cats, and they have fantastic information about that. We'll continue with this really important topic right after these messages.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. She could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk.
She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to ER Vet on Pet Life Radio. We've been talking about what you can do to keep your dog and cat out of the ER vet. So we've talked about things like preventive medicine, keeping your dog on a leash, making sure they went through 2 levels of puppy obedience, leashing your cat or using catios instead of letting them wander inside and outside, making sure we're providing appropriate environmental enrichment, including for indoor cats. And then when in doubt, the other thing I wanted to add is consider pet insurance. Now, I will say, as soon as I rescued my second dog, he was surrendered by a breeder for parvovirus, I got pet insurance immediately. And the reason why I did that is because veterinary medicine has gotten so cost prohibitive over the past few years. And I will admit, vet care can be really expensive. Now, please keep in mind that a lot of pet owners don't have pet insurance. I think 20 years ago, only about 2-5% of pet owners had it. And that is increasing over time. The last statistic I heard was that approximately 5-10% of pet owners do have it. Now, this varies by country. I know the United Kingdom has a much higher rate of pet insurance. And I always say it's really impossible to predict when an emergency is going to occur. So having a financial buffer that's going to relieve your stress and anxiety about your emergency veterinary care is really, really important. Please keep in mind that pet insurance plans vary, but they can really provide peace of mind, letting you make the right decisions for your pets. And again, it takes off that financial barrier. However, I see a lot of mistakes when people are making that decision about pet insurance. When it comes to pet insurance, please know that all the ones that I know of don't cover pre-existing disease. Okay. They don't have Obamacare for pets, unfortunately. So when it comes to pet insurance, you have to get it as early as possible. Because if for some reason your dog was already diagnosed with allergies or atopic dermatitis or flea allergy dermatitis or a urinary tract infection, that means future visits will never be covered when it comes to those diseases. And I'll tell you, if you have a golden retriever who's got quote unquote hay fever, what we call atopic dermatitis, and those are seasonal allergies, that can be extremely expensive. And over your pet's lifetime, that can cost like $10,000 on antibiotics, on topical medications, on dermatology appointments, on skin scrapes, all these skin tests. So when in doubt, you really want to get pet insurance before your pet is diagnosed with any medical conditions, which means you have to get it as soon as you get your pet. Now, please keep in mind, a lot of pet insurance won't cover your pet within the first 30 days of signing up. So you can't do it right before an emergency. You can't do it right before you're about to take your pet into the vet clinic because they won't be covered for at least 30 days. So you really want to do your research on it. And some will cover wellness, like they'll cover dental procedures, they'll cover vaccines, while some only cover emergency care. Now, I will say, if you have a pet who's gotten into the garbage, and again, that emphasizes the importance of pet proofing, right? So your dog gets into the garbage, he eats a corn cob, which is really dangerous, that's about the right size to block the intestines. That could be in an emergency surgery. And in the middle of the night, that could cost $5,000 to $10,000. Again, that's one of the reasons why I really want to advocate for pet insurance. Now, pet insurance is typically a third-party insurer, which means you have to pay your vet upfront, including the deposit, but you get reimbursed later. And the degree or percentage of reimbursement really varies with each pet insurance company. So when in doubt, please do your research. You want to make sure you're picking the right insurance plan, and you want to pick whether or not you're just looking for basic coverage for emergencies and accidents versus if you're picking a comprehensive plan that includes preventative care and chronic conditions. So again, make sure to shop around, do your research. There's a lot of great websites out there. In summary, my goal over the past couple of years of having these episodes of ER Vet and doing things that I've done to help educate pet owners, like my great courses, Veterinary School for Everyone, Caring for Dogs and Cats, from my two books that I've authored, It's a Dog's Life, But It's Your Carpet, and It's a Cat's World, You Just Live in It. My intention of doing all these educational pieces for pet owners is truly to keep your dog and cat as healthy as possible, out of the ER, and living as long as possible. A lot of people get stuck in some of the details of, like, what should I feed my pet? And I'm going to say, I have seen a lot of dogs who have been on the most expensive, best dog food, who unfortunately die at young ages of genetic diseases. And I've also seen the situation where I've had dogs that live to a very, very old age on pet foods that weren't quite as high end, right? Ultimately, when it comes to your pet, you always want to check with your veterinarian. My general rules, again, are getting that exercise, keeping your pet in a good body condition score, not letting them get overweight or obese, which is highly associated with osteoarthritis and so many medical conditions like diabetes and difficulty breathing and cardiopulmonary problems, making sure that we're providing the right environmental enrichment for our dog and cat, making sure that we're ensuring that our pets have preventive medicine. They're on that flea and tick medication. They're on that heartworm preventative year round. When in doubt, do what your vet does for their own pets. And when in doubt, you can always ask them, what would you do in this situation? Please know that I always want you to be an advocate for yourself. If you do end up in the emergency room, please make sure to bring your pet. And I know it's really stressful, but you want to bring your wallet. You want to make sure to bring any previous medical record, which I always believe in having a folder where you have copies of blood work and medical records and receipts, so you can always grab that in case of emergency. If you do routine blood work at your veterinarian, always ask for a copy of it so you have it in your medical record. Be an advocate for your dog and cat. If you do end up in the ER, please know there's going to be a several hour wait. So I always say you want to bring things for you and your loved ones who are with you, a smartphone charger, a computer, a book, things where you can patiently wait in the ER, because just to prepare you, the wait in the ER can be long, and it's based on triage. The sickest pets are seen first, just like a human ER. The other thing that I think is really important as a tip is, when in doubt, you want to be proactive to reduce the likelihood that you have to go to the veterinary ER. So if your dog is vomiting on day one, you want to call your vet and make an appointment, because oftentimes they may not be able to see you for a few days. This is especially important as you're approaching the weekend. If most vets are only open Monday through Friday, maybe a couple of hours or half day on Saturday. So if your dog starts vomiting on Wednesday and he's still vomiting on Thursday, you want to get to your family vet right away. It's going to be less expensive. In the least, make an appointment. Make the earliest available appointment and call 24 hours before if your pet's miraculously better. The reason why I like to have that appointment is because I want to make sure, if my pet's not any better, that you can see your family practitioner instead of having to do it in the middle of the night. Now, I will say, In the middle of the night, things are more expensive because vet ERs have to be staffed 24/7. So the costs of running the hospital 24/7, staffing it 24/7, having different types of tools that they need in an emergency room versus in general practice, like blood transfusions, blood work analysis that can run blood work right away, the ability to get x-ray reports and x-rays done right away, emergency surgery, diagnostic tests that general practitioners or family practitioners don't have to have. So it's understandably more expensive. But again, we really want to make sure we're doing everything that we can for your pet's longevity and quality of life. When in doubt, they're our furry family members. And while they might not be able to thank us with their words, their joy and comfort that they bring us, their undying love, really is a testament to our dedication as a responsible pet owner. With that, I'm signing off for my last ER Vet Pet Life Radio episode, and it's been a joy to work with Mark Winter and with all of you. Thanks for your loyalty and listening, and I hope to see you on a future episode. When in doubt, you can find me at drjustinelee.com, on Facebook or Instagram at Dr. Justine Lee, or email me at drjustine@petliferadio.com. It's been a joy being on ER Vet, and a huge shout out to Mark Winter, our producer, for making this show possible. Thanks for all that you do, and don't forget to love up your four-legged family member.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.